Grab the boys, grab some beers, and get lucky at Hawthorne Racecourse. Horse racing is the original sports betting and features odds on every race that can make any day a big payday. Live harness racing is every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in September, beginning at 7 p.m. at Hawthorne. Or get in on the action at 7 Chicagoland Club Hawthorne OTBs with races from around the globe. And don't miss big stakes action at the track on Saturday, September 21st for Night of Champions, featuring over $1 million in purses.
Dan Bernstein here for my friends at Aloha Restoration. If you notice dark stains on your ceiling, mold and mildew starting to set in, everybody I talk to is dealing with a flooded basement. And there are some service companies that will just tear out the damage, and then you have to hire another company to restore it. Aloha Restoration will take your flooded basement from ruined to restored. Speaking from my personal experience, Aloha was with me from start to finish, restored my home to pre-disaster condition, and made it look as good as new. Aloha's the proud winner of the Better Business Bureau's 2018 Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. Aloha Restoration, 847-865-5664, 847-865-5664.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
If you're a military veteran, then you've got to check out ConnectingVets.com. It's full of the military news and lifestyle stories that bring vets closer. Closer to the things you care about, like benefits, employment, women's issues, and what's happening in the veteran community. It's things that affect your wallet and everything from happy hour to firepower. No matter what branch you were, we're the site that salutes you. ConnectingVets.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Ryan Pacey, of course, the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
How difficult was that replacing a guy as respected as Vic? And how tricky will the transition be? Because Chuck Pagano, as respected as he is, he's not the old guy. He's not the other guy. And there's going to be maybe a little bit of period there of adjustment.
For us, David, I feel like, honestly, so far it's gone pretty smooth. And Chuck's experienced, and I think there's a blend of him doing what he wants to do, but also doing what he knows our players are best at in their roles. And so far it's been smooth. The offseason's been good with it. And, you know, we got a lot of young talent on that side of the ball. And what's exciting about it is they're just going to grow together and continue to get better. So you talk about Roquan and Eddie Jackson and Khalil Mack, and it's neat to see these guys develop before our eyes.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Everyone talks about your use of the word reckoning. I think you may have used it once or twice in the offseason. You regret using that. It's been brought up so much.
I mean, I regret using it because of the way it's been regurgitated over and over. But, for me, I don't know how you define it, but for me, you know, all reckoning is like an evaluation, an appraisal, an accounting, like a an understanding of where things lie. And I think this year was important. I think last year, as I alluded to, it was a little bit muddier. We won 95 games. We won as many games as anyone in the National League. Yet there were some real issues, and obviously a disappointing end to the season. And it became murkier. And so I thought things would become more clear. We'd be able to make more of an evaluation this year, that'd be an accounting for where we were, what we are, and that's all I meant by it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Theo defining reckoning, and that's interesting. See, when I think reckoning, I think judgment. I think that it's not just an estimation of what's happened. It's also sort of a reckoning implies a judgment. It doesn't imply that...
You can pull out your Ivy League thesaurus, I mean, and get many different variations of the definition and synonyms. But let's face it, he was talking about accountability and
that's
consequences.
Right.
I think, you know, words matter. And we do hold him accountable for those words. Now, maybe we all have gotten a little bit carried away in repeating those and regurgitating them in his words. But that's what happens when you are... an executive who has Hall of Fame credentials. When you say things, people hang on almost every word. So when he says that there's going to be a reckoning if things don't happen?
Yes.
That's what's happening now. Let the reckoning begin.
It's real simple. The Cubs won the World Series. They had the hangover year. It hasn't been what they thought since. There was the imagining of a yearly sort of contention, a yearly idea of getting there. And the last couple of years haven't gone as well as the money invested in the club would indicate it should. And whether that's fair or not, you know, when you go ahead and invest in something, the more you put into it, the more you expect out of it. And that maybe that's unrealistic. And maybe with the randomness of baseball, you can't expect that. The outcomes will not be the ones you always suspect they will be. But there's nothing wrong with demanding some sort of payback for what you invest in something.
I agree with that. I think what you just described, though, is definitely a team that did not, you're not getting what you're paying for if you're Tom Ricketts, and you're not getting what you thought you were getting if you're Theo Epstein. And to me, that is the definition of underachieving. Now, you could have people who want to be, you know, use semantics and say, this team isn't that good, so how can you say a team that isn't that good or that talented underachieved? Everything in sports is based on expectations, based on your salary, based on how much you earn. And you have a lot of guys who have fallen well short of earning, or their performance is fallen well short of what their salary is. And that is chronic throughout this team. And you have a $218 million payroll and you have a third place team. That's incompatible. So, you know, whenever you have, whether you want to call it reckoning, whatever you want to call it, there's going to be big changes ahead. And I think it's fascinating in the next couple of days to see how they handle the parting of company with Joe Maddon. Nothing is official, but everybody knows what's going on. And yesterday there were a couple opportunities for both Joe Maddon and Theo when they met the media to make us think anything else was going to happen except for what is, you know, what we expect.
312-644-6767. John is in Tinley Park. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I got a couple of quick points. Please bear with me a second here. But I really think this finger pointing should be really directed directly at Theo Epstein more than probably anybody else here, which I really haven't heard much of that. I've heard it that it's been spread around here and there, and we're pointing fingers all over the place. But here's a guy who never addressed the leadoff position once since the departure of Fowler. Nothing done as far as starting pitching in their organization whatsoever. The signing of Morrow, the signing of Yu Darvish, these stupid moves that have been made all throughout, and then everyone's going to sit there and point it at Joe. I think last time I've heard a manager makes up a difference of three games, possibly maybe four. Okay, let's give him the three games that Joe Maddon blew completely. That still does not excuse anything that front office did. They miraculously found money later on when they should have been addressing it earlier. You know, the reckoning, he should reckon himself. That's what should really happen. And the other point about this, too, is mark my words, this is what's going to happen. It's this press conference with Joe. It's going to be one of those things where they give you the bull of, okay, there you go. It's a mutual understanding. Joe's leaving. We wanted him back, but Joe's going to move a different way. They're just going to spin this whole thing. It's a bunch of crap. I'm so pissed at these guys because I'm more pissed about him and that nobody's addressing this whole fact.
Yeah, okay, thanks, John. Thank you. Look, I mean,
John just told Theo to go wreck it himself.
Well, as Ice Cube once famously said, you should chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. A little word info there.
I think we've been pretty consistent. I mean, look, we've pointed the finger at Theo and pointed out his shortcomings. I wrote an entire column about it in the Tribune the other day. We've talked about it all week. There's not just one person here that is to blame. Joe Maddon will maybe be painted as the scapegoat, but the front office and Theo and Jed gave him a roster that was limited. They had no leadoff hitter. They had no answer second base.
Right.
And they had limitations in the bullpen they tried to address, but that was not a very good bullpen overall. Mm-hmm. The numbers were deceiving. So this is shared responsibility, shared blame. Not just Joe Maddon, not just the manager. It goes well beyond that.
But it's not, I mean, it's fair to say, David, I think that's a fair comment, but it's not It's not shared blame, is it? I mean, at the end of the day, there'll be one person blamed and another person that won't have to go through whatever the bread and circus
is. Well, there'll be one person that will not be working here next year. So
yes.
That's true. He'll be the scapegoat because of that. The contractual reality is I do wonder what the situation might be if Theo Epstein were out of contract this year. They structured it this way. No matter what he said about reckoning,
yes,
Theo's words weren't as important as his inaction, okay? The inaction of not giving Joe a contract beyond 2019 said everything, and it framed this season. It was almost, I don't want to say designed to fail, but it was designed to distract, and this was an issue every day of the season. And should pro athletes be beyond that kind of distraction? Probably so. It's human nature, though. Chris Bryant gave voice to it. This was an issue. This was a distraction, and it did matter.
But it didn't matter, and it wasn't a distraction until the failure came. Then when we go through the kind of the autopsy of what went wrong, well, remember that this horrible distraction is really what went wrong. You know, in professional sports, it is not unusual to kind of dance for your dinner. To if you get to a contract, well, we're going to play this out. That's telling you that you better do the best job you've done. And when you don't, then okay, then you didn't meet your moment. I understand the pressure that was put on, but that is a tactic oftentimes with people. It oftentimes will get the best out of someone. Now, I understand it didn't happen here, so you can sit back and say it was a flawed strategy, but it's a strategy that has worked in other ways and other elements before.
Yeah, there are great examples of guys who respond to contract years with career seasons they rise to the occasion. But I think that's difficult. You're talking about an individual performance, and when individuals, you know, and maybe it's an excuse making, but I think there's a difference in saying, for instance, Nick Castellanos responded to his contract year because he wanted to get paid in free agency. You know, all he's got to worry about is Nick Castellanos. When you're a manager and you don't have the certainty of a contract beyond the season, and it becomes an issue every time that you go into a new city, and every time that you have a losing streak.
Ted Phillips famously said, "I haven't seen enough about Lovie Smith," and they made him play out his contract year, and he got to a Super Bowl, and they had to pay him then, right? So it's been done in other elements. I know it's not an exact comparison, but I'm saying,
did Lovie Smith win a championship before that? I mean,
he didn't.
The point of it was that you know, you had this World Series winning manager that was going into a season as a lame duck, and that status was that stood out because of that. You're not talking about a manager who had to prove something. He was a 65-year-old highest paid manager in baseball.
Well, that's what he had to prove. He had to prove something to them. They felt that the team they put on the field was good enough to compete better than it did.
And I guess my point is that going into the season having averaged 95 wins a year with a World Series in the first 4 years, presiding over the golden age of Cub baseball, what exactly did you have to prove? What else could you do to deserve a contract extension?
Listen, their standard was higher than yours.
Apparently so.
Right. I mean, that's apparently what happened. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Let's get to Chip. He's in Burbank. Hey, Chip.
Hello, guys. Good morning. Just a couple of thoughts. You know, as I was sitting here listening to you guys, I finally decided that the reason the Cubs screwed up this year was because of hitting. Now, we know the starting pitching had its flaws. We know the bullpen had its flaws. But the team that was drafted on that field were hitters. That's who Theo went after. He went after all these hitters, no pitchers. So the hitters were what we were expecting to carry us through this. One last thought and a comment, or a question rather, for you guys.
I thought you dropped right as you were asking the question.
No, I'm sorry. I want to just pose this one last question.
Please.
If you've got a man on third base with less than two outs, and you got three batters have a possibility of coming up, if you had a chance of Baez coming up with that man on third, if you had a chance of Contreras coming up with that man on third, or if you had a chance with Zobrist coming up with that man on third, who would you have more confidence in in bringing that man in when it's a situational thing. You know, as a kid growing up playing baseball, when I was at bat and I had a man on third, my objective was to bring the man in on third, not to try to hit a double or a home run. Bring the man in on third.
It's a great point. It's a great observation. And what you're pointing at and pointing out is exactly what the problem was with this Cubs team. They were last in the league with contact rate.
Yes.
This was not a team that was, you know, that you can change hitting coaches all you want. You can change approaches all you want. It's about the hitter. It's about who you have in those spots. And most times, in man on third with less than two out, they weren't getting it done.
George is in River Grove. Hey, George.
Today. How are you today?
Good. Yourself?
I'm still standing.
That's all it's
much
all
to my amazement.
Yeah.
Before I start to rant, let me say one thing. Nico Hoerner, the real deal.
Here's hoping.
The real deal. He's got a short base closed stance, which is conducive to making contact when you swing at the ball. And, you know, in all professional sports, there's 30 teams trying to do the same thing you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like the Highlander. There can be only one. And so at some point in time, the manager's got to step up and say, you know, we're at that point where I need everyone to play the best game they can possibly play. Screw your head on right and play some good, smart baseball.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, George. Sorry we've run out of time. I think he's blaming Joe.
Joe. I like Nico Hoerner, but
not sure what he was getting at. Highlander.
Yeah. Nico Hoerner, they're going to play a little bit the second base maybe this weekend in St. Louis just to give him a little bit of taste there. That's where he could open up 2020, depending on who the manager is, whoever it is.
All right. We're ending on kind of a sad note, I think. I don't feel like we've...
I feel great.
Do you feel good about it?
I feel so good about a lot of things.
Well, you said this was a death of hope today, so I think that's probably the appropriate tone.
Well,
season grim.
Yesterday was the death of hope. It was grim. It was a grim tale. Okay, sorry. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next.
That's grim.
Smully and Haw on the score.
Dan Bernstein
and Connor McKnight here, 9 a.m. to noon.
Have a smart speaker at home?
It's easy to listen to the score.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com.
And stream The Score live from your smart speaker instantly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O-Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, it's David Hall, and I like using Uber for rides around town, and I had a driver recently tell me how much he loves driving Uber. Now, if you start driving with Uber, I bet you will love it too. One reason? Well, Uber guarantees earnings offers for new driver partners, so you'll know how much you'll earn. When you drive with Uber, you'll have phone support 24/7 to get the help you need when you need it. Uber also maintains auto liability insurance on behalf of drivers in the case of a covered accident, and in addition to being your own boss working on your own schedule, when you drive with Uber and sign up for instant pay, every day can be payday. You can cash out up to 5 times a day. And here's the kicker. Uber is providing a limited time earnings guarantee offer so you know in advance what you'll earn. So right now, all new Uber driver partners can earn at least $2,500 in Chicago for their first 400 trips completed within 90 days of sign up. Limited time offer, terms apply. If you don't make the guaranteed amount of $2,500 in fares for your first 400 trips, Uber will pay the difference. So sign up today at uber.com/drive. That's uber.com/drive. Certain restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you say you need more Cubs talk in your life. We've got you covered with a new podcast from The Score, Into the Basket, starring The Score's Julie DeCaro, Evan Altman from Cubs Insider, and Brad Robinson from WBBM.
Did you guys see the dancing bullpen catcher?
That was wonderful.
Let me ask you this, because you guys are dudes. What reason does a grown adult man have to know every single move to the video for Single Ladies?
I don't have one.
Into the Basket will have all the latest Cubs topics, and you can listen anytime you want through the radio.com app. The Score's Into the Basket, available on radio.com. thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Well, the Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Are you guys at a point where you look at different solutions to some of the lineup spots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, a valid question. I think that I still would say, you know, that this is a group that's, you know, won more games than any team, really, you know, since we've been put together.